Get it. More than 60 Western countries require the disclosure of genetically modified foods or GMOs, but not here in the U.S. Various states have taken up the fight, and last year, Vermont passed what is considered to be the strictest law requiring food manufacturers label when GMOs have been used, which is being challenged in court. So what's going on here in New York? Well, my guests this morning are Manhattan Assembly member Linda Rosenthal and the campaign director and co-founder of GMO-Free New York, Stacey Orell. And I'd like to welcome you both to the morning show on WBAI. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So let's start first with you, Stacey Orell. What is exactly bioengineered or genetically modified foods? Many people, particularly in this audience, may know what that is, but many may not. What is genetically modified food, and what are the biggest concerns?
So a genetically modified food is typically a plant that has had its DNA modified such that it expresses a trait not normally found in that plant. For example, a corn plant that's been genetically modified so that it can withstand repeated sprains by an herbicide and not die while all the weeds around it die, because sometimes you see both traits in one plant, that where the DNA has been modified so that the corn produces its own insecticide inside every cell of the plant. So instead of having to spray insecticide on the outside of the plant itself becomes a 24/7 insecticide factory. And so when the bug bites the plant, it's exposed to the insecticide and dies.
But this, wait a minute, let me see, make sure I understand. You're saying this food that humans are consuming becomes its insecticide?
To the target organism,
right,
to the
right,
pest
right,
that preys
yeah.
on
mm-hmm,
the plant,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Okay. I see.
And so the concerns about, so that's two examples of a type of genetic modification. They are the two most prevalent types of genetic modification in our food supply. Most of the GMO crops being cultivated in the U.S. are what's known as either Roundup Ready, which means they can tolerate the spraying with Roundup, the world's most popular weed killer, or insect resistant because they produce their own insecticide. And the concerns about these crops are that the jury is still out on their safety. Most people believe that the FDA has tested everything that's out there, on our grocery shelves, and that's not true, in particular with GMOs. The FDA relies on the companies that have developed the GMOs, such as Monsanto, to do their own testing and then tell the FDA, we've done the testing, this is safe, and then the FDA says, great, go sell it.
Manhattan Assembly Member Linda Rosenthal is also on the line. Now, apparently the FDA doesn't require labeling because it considers GMO foods to be no different from conventional food. I mean, is that so?
Well, that's true right now. The FDA has decided not to get involved, basically, by, and that's why we believe it's up to the states to continue the movement to have labeling. If the federal government won't do it, then it's up to the states to do it. And that's why, as you mentioned, a couple of states around the country have done it, and there are bills pending in many other states, because that's how we'll get it accomplished.
Mm-hmm. And where is New York State in this process?
Well, I'm the sponsor of the bill in the New York State Assembly. It's Senator LaValle in the Senate. We have more than 70 sponsors. It's a bipartisan bill. I have many Republicans and Democrats on this bill. And the bill this year has so far gone through the Consumer Affairs Committee. And so the next stop is the Codes Committee. And, this is progress because Some years ago, this bill never would have made it to an agenda. It actually had never made it to a committee agenda until a couple of years ago, where we got it on the agenda of Consumer Affairs.
Mm.
So that's a lot of progress.
Yeah, it still, though, it does sound like a lengthy process, but I guess this is the process.
This is the process,
yeah.
And it's also being messed with, or that's their job, lobbyists, campaigning heavily against this bill. And you see them throughout the halls of Albany. I guess that's their job. But they, even when we have yes votes, we have supporters, people who are on the bill, the lobbyists continue to hammer them to get them off the bill to change their support.
Yeah.
So it's a robust campaign across the country against this bill, against the labeling of GMO.
Right, right. Well, we're not really surprised about that. Stacey Orell, most U.S. corn and soy and sugar beets are they genetically engineered? I mean, unless you get organic, certified organic, but the things that you get in your grocery stores, beets and corn, the corn that many people love to eat, corn on the cob or white corn sautéed, however they do, it's genetically modified.
So actually, no. What you're getting in the produce aisle at your supermarket or any food retailer, for the most part today, has not been genetically modified. There's two varieties of sweet corn that Monsanto grows, or farmers grow using Monsanto seeds, that are genetically engineered. And again, we don't know what, you know, if you're just buying sweet corn, if it's Monsanto's variety or not, because it's not labeled. The sugar beets that are genetically modified are not the beets that you buy in the supermarket. These sugar beets are used in lieu of sugar cane to produce the sugar that goes into processed food. And the other crops that you might find in the produce aisle that could be genetically engineered are a variety of squash and zucchini, Hawaiian papaya. But here in the Northeast, we don't really get our papaya from Hawaii. We get it from other places, but most of the papaya coming out of Hawaii is genetically engineered. And that's about it. But recently the FDA approved two varieties of what's called the Arctic apple. It's apples that have been modified. Their own DNA has been modified, so there's no foreign DNA in there. They just shut off genes that exist in the apple so that the apple won't show evidence of bruising or browning. So the apple could be rotting, or, you know, normally when you slice an apple, it browns, but those genes have been turned off. So the apple will look great for days, even if it might not taste great. And there's also a variety of potato that was approved that will also not show bruising, but those things aren't being cultivated yet, and so they're not on the shelves.
But on the majority of the processed foods are full of GMOs.
So,
and, you know, actually, sorry, I just wanted to make the point that this bill is a consumer protection bill. You know, the Monsanto, et cetera, would have you believe that we are weighing in on whether GMOs are good or bad for you. And that's up to the consumer to decide. But the consumer cannot decide if they don't know if the food they're buying is genetically modified or not, which is why this is a labeling bill.
And that was Assembly Member Linda Rosenthal. Stacey Orell, you wanted to continue to comment?
Oh, so I wanted to pick up. So that's the whole foods that are genetically modified. But as Assemblywoman Rosenthal said, most of the GMOs that we're consuming in our diet is coming in processed food. And that's because 90% of all corn grown in the U.S., 94% of soybeans, 95% of sugar beets, and also most cotton and canola are being grown as genetically engineered varieties, and those are getting turned into the ingredients that are in most processed foods. So high fructose corn syrup is coming from, you know, GMO corn. Sugar, where it, when it just says, unless it says pure cane sugar, you have to assume that it's coming from sugar beets. So the assumption is if there's corn or soy or any of its derivatives in your processed food or sugar, it's coming from those GMOs.
All right, so that was Stacy Orell, the campaign director and co-founder of GMO Free New York. GMO Free New York. And I'm also speaking with, also on the line joining me this morning, Manhattan Assembly member Linda Rosenthal. Linda, tell me, who is opposed to labeling, and why are they opposed to labeling?
Well, the second one is a great question. The first is the usual suspects, the big corporations, Pepsi, Coke, the Grocery Manufacturers Association, Monsanto, Dow. It's basically most of the large food corporations. And the reason that they're objecting to it is unknown. They don't want, what they say is they don't want labeling because labels have a stigma. So they might send the message to consumers, this is bad, don't buy it. But that's absurd. Everything has labels. You know how many calories there are. They have labels that say new, gluten-free, this is how much cholesterol. I mean, everything that we consume basically has information on the label, and they don't want this to be on the label. They say they think people won't buy it. But, you know, as science continues to investigate GMOs and as people learn that what they're buying is actually products that have been doused with insecticide, as Stacy explained, maybe they will say we don't want this. But at least they deserve a choice, and what the lobbyists say is they think people won't buy their products. But you know what? They've invested millions and millions and millions across this country trying to kill referendum in California, bills in Vermont, in New York, in Connecticut. You know, they really are investing a lot to kill this bill.
A lot of money. All right, fantastic.
Can I interject?
Yes, please, go ahead.
The same companies that have spent upwards of $100 million here in the U.S. to kill these bills and referenda are actually already complying with the labeling laws in the countries that have them. You started off this segment by noting that there's over 60 countries around the world that have labeling. The entire EU has had labeling since the late 1990s. China has labeling. India, you know, in South American countries.
And these companies are complying with that.
They're complying with
that. They have to.
When Kellogg's, Pepsi, Coke, you know, General Mills, when they sell their cereals and soda abroad, they either label them if they haven't, you know, reformulated, or if they wanted to avoid the label, they could have changed the ingredients. But one way or the other, they're complying with them and have been for well over a decade. So why is it that their European and, you know, other international consumers get the right to know, and they're doing it there, and they didn't raise prices, the sky didn't fall, people are still drinking Coke? Why don't Americans have the right to know what we're eating?
Well, I don't want to run out of time. We have about another 3 minutes or so before the segment is over. Let's talk about what's going on in New York. You've dealt with a lot of information, misinformation, that is to say. There's an assembly bill, there's a Senate bill in New York State. Let's talk about that. Linda Rosenthal, tell us about that.
Okay, well, the bill passed through the Consumer Affairs Committee, something it didn't do a couple of years ago because the lobbyists managed to flip some supporters into voting against it. So, and it's being done, it has been done early in the session. Last year, it got through Consumer Affairs and the Codes Committee, and then we ran out of time because it was end of June.
Yes.
This year, we started earlier, so now that the budget process has ended, we have April, May, and June to get this through a couple more committees and then hit the floor. Where we, you know, we have more than 70 sponsors. To pass a bill in the Assembly, you need 76 votes. So we practically have that.
You're almost at that threshold.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right. That is fantastic news. That is fantastic news. Now, the most important part of this conversation, I believe, is how can people that are listening right now support and help push this through if they've a mind to, if they're interested in labeling, what can people do?
Well, the first thing they can do is find out if they don't already know who their elected representatives are in Albany, their state senator and their state assembly member. And then they can send emails or call or send snail mail telling them that this is a priority for them and they want their representative to be a sponsor of the bill and to vote for it when it hits the floor or if it's in a committee where their member sits. And probably many of the people who are listening here in the local area, basically everyone here supports the bill. But they can tell their friends who live in other parts of the state, tell them to do the exact same thing. Because we're here to represent our constituents. And if our constituents say they want this, why wouldn't you support it unless it's something that's egregious and you differ on? Mm-hmm. And then you'd have a discussion. This one, the demand for this bill has been very, very high. And I've gotten lots of emails, and emails have been sent from across the state. And that's partially why we have so many sponsors. So that's what people should do initially.
If people... GMOfreeNY.net is my website, mm-hmm. and if you go there, the homepage, it tells you exact instructions on how to find out who your legislators are. The links are there to look up your assembly member and your senator. I give helpful hints on what you can say or email when you do get someone on the phone. I also have a link to a petition that when you sign it, an email is automatically sent to your senator and your assembly member, as well as Governor Cuomo. And another thing that the coalition of organizations in the state that are supporting this is doing, we're having a rally and lobby day in Albany at the state capitol on April 28th, Tuesday, April 28th. We have bus transport available throughout the state. And again, if you go to GMOfreeNY.net, you'll see on the homepage links to all the information about the rally day, the times, the schedule, where to meet, and links to reserve those bus seats if you need bus transport. And that's something that we're really encouraging people throughout the state to do because we need to turn up the volume in Albany. You know, we want people to call and email, but to have a visible show of support marching through the halls of the Capitol is necessary for this as well, so we can, you know, counteract or hopefully drown out the voices of the lobbyists and their deep pockets.
All right.
We have people power.
All right. People power. What an excellent note to end on. I appreciate you being with me this morning, Assemblymember Linda Rosenthal and the campaign director and co-founder of GMO Free New York, Stacey Orell. Thank you both very, very much.
Thank you
for having us.
All right. So that's GMOfreeNY.net. This is WBAI.